Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. The phones are open, as they always are. You can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
So, I wasn't on last night's show. Normally, I'm on Thursday night, and that's because I was at the event that actually almost all Free Talk Live co-hosts were at. We were, small percentage of the room.
It was amazing, that event. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I don't know how deep you guys got into it last night, Bonnie. You were on last night's show. I stayed there to kind of finish recording, and I ultimately did end up speaking at this. For listeners that don't know, we're talking about the New Hampshire Exit Constitutional Amendment, the idea of peacefully declaring independence from the United States and going our own way as our own, basically the nation of New Hampshire. And so that was a public hearing that was had. It was historic. Even one of the state reps who was against the bill, it had to admit it was a historic occasion to have that particular hearing. I don't know how deep you guys got into it, because I was kind of on the way home.
We talked about it basically throughout the entire night, but I'm sure that you guys have more things to add, since you guys were both also there.
Yeah, we were there. There was a rally that happened prior to it. There was a press conference as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like go to the press conference or the rally, and I don't think we got into it last night.
It was a good, for considering how cold it was, and it was freezing cold.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't raining, but we didn't have any sunlight. With the way the buildings are and the way the sun is, it was all shade that we were standing in during the rally. So it was cold. Considering that, there were, somebody counted 100 people. I think that included people who showed up after the rally.
It was probably 100 people if you include everybody, even potentially some opposition that were not a lot of opposition, but there was a few.
I'd say it was 50 roughly at the rally, and then the numbers doubled roughly for the hearing.
I counted roughly 80 supporters in the room. That doesn't mean that there weren't more. There were people who left early. So yeah. It was definitely probably close to 100 people in
there
the hearing.
There were also some people who came to the rally who didn't go to the hearing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, some people had to go. They had to go to work
or whatever.
Just showed up for what they could, and they had to go.
I thought it was a pretty good turnout overall. There were more, and what's interesting is I think the makeup was very interesting. There were a lot more libertarians and free staters at that event. Like, I was shocked at how many of us actually showed up. I was actually expecting it to be mostly conservatives and libertarians being in the minority.
I'm really happy about
and
that.
Mostly because there were conservatives who were rallying their troops, at least that's what the impression I got. And then it was like three conservatives showed up, and almost everybody else was like a libertarian.
Yeah, the people who showed up were the people who were supposedly doing the rallying. They were kind of group leaders in New Hampshire, but they didn't have much of their troops to back them up, which was interesting.
And that's why I'm like, wow, we got almost 80 libertarians to show up to an event.
That alone is unprecedented.
Yeah, like I don't think I've ever seen that. We've had some 420 rallies that had, been pretty big too,
but most of those are locals. Most of the people that go to the 420s are locals. Right. Even in Keene, when we had
this had a really good wide distribution of libertarians that came from all over. And
yeah, even in Keene, when we had epic level 420 rallies
years ago,
when it was over 100 to 120, 130 people, I only counted 30%. Libertarians. The rest of them were all townies. They were all just locals. We can dig into this, because there's actually more to say beyond what happened yesterday. There's also been an update today, because the committee that heard the bill voted on it today, so we can talk about that. And I've got the audio from their discussion, which I definitely think is worth playing, because it's ridiculous. But let's go first to Sam. He actually called up here before we started the show tonight in Ohio. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on, it seems like everybody I keep talking to keeps saying that there's no COVID vaccine reactions, but yet you guys keep reporting that there are some. So I just kind of find that interesting.
Yeah, there's an entire website that offhand I don't recall what it's called, but it's devoted to collecting people's stories and reports.
Yeah.
There's, of course, the VAERS system, which is the voluntary vaccine reporting system.
It's probably because they want you to get the shot, so they're downplaying the seriousness of some of the effects. My partner got a shot, and one of them anyway, and he
only once, or did he get two of them?
Oh, no, he only got once. Uh-huh. He wouldn't do it again.
Really?
And yeah, I don't want to say serious consequences. Like he didn't end up in the hospital or anything, but yeah, I mean, it was bad enough.
Sick.
It was, yeah, it made him sick. And, it was, I don't know if I would say it was as worse as when he's also gotten COVID a couple of times.
Oh.
And there's been different variants. So some of them have definitely been not that big of a deal, and others have been pretty bad. So I don't know. I would say it was as bad as like the worst strain that he got of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But it was bad enough where it wasn't worth getting a future shot and risk getting and going through it again. He would rather have COVID than or risk getting COVID again than getting the shot. So it definitely,
I read an article the other day. It's on emilyburns.vote, and it's her article, Farewell Boston, May We Meet Again Soon. And she's running for some kind of office in Massachusetts, and she compiled the most data I've ever seen that was like comprehensive charts about the fact that the vaccines at least just don't work. And it was really shocking to be able to see that because a lot of places, you know, they'll post something like that and it'll get censored or fact checked or whatever. And I don't know, it doesn't get passed around, but that showed up in my feed. And if you look that up, it's talking about how she is leaving Boston because of the mandates, even though she's vaccinated. But she put together so much information. I don't know what political side she's on. It's not like I'm saying, oh, vote for her or anything like that, but it's emilyburns.vote.
Yeah, I don't really know a lot of people who have gotten the shot around here.
Go ahead, Sam.
I mean, honestly, I got it because I was afraid, like, they would limit your travel over it. But, I mean, at the same time, I don't think that they should be mandating people who don't want to take it to take it.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like you basically are coming at it from the same perspective that kind of Bob, my partner, came at it from, and he didn't necessarily want to get the shot, but he was like, they're going to make you get it anyway, so I'm just going to do it because I want to go and do events and things. And of course, I don't think he actually has gone and done any events, but yeah, same kind of perspective.
And of course, there's plenty of studies. There was just another one recently showing that the natural immunity that you get from having and defeating COVID and surviving it is more effective than any of these vaccines.
Yeah, I'm older. I'm a little older than the Bob, and I didn't get it as bad as, you know, Bob has gotten. And he's in, I don't want to say he's in better shape, but he's probably in a little bit better shape. I mean, I certainly don't eat anywhere near as healthy as he does. So.
I just want to give you another example here, Sam, since you'd asked about where to find this stuff. And I wish I could remember the website, but an old friend of the show, old co-host, Sam Dodson, he is posting actively every single day on Twitter, linking to other people's posts about the consequences, ostensibly, right? Because the thing is, you can't say for sure that the health problems that people are suffering at age 20 or 30 or whatever, when they're otherwise very healthy adults, you can't say for sure it came from the vaccine. But here's one example. He posted this one earlier today, or no, I guess it was a few days ago, from someone on Twitter whose name I can't say on the radio. It's Amy says F's or F a lot. She posts, she looks very young here in this photograph. She can't be any older than 30. She says, I'm fully vaxxed and boosted as of 3 months ago. No positive COVID tests, but may have had it. Having heart palpitations the past 6 weeks, and it's getting worse. Now happening 6 to 8 hours total per day, and sometimes it's hard to breathe, she says. And so his handle, by the way, on Twitter, if you want to follow him, is To The Lifeboats. That's our old friend Sam Dodson, at To The Lifeboats, T-O The Lifeboats.
Yeah, that sounds kind of what I've experienced, I think, and Bob has experienced too a little bit. Not for like 8 hours or anything like that, but probably like no more than, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, just, I mean, so many examples of, like, sports athletes collapsing on the field. You don't normally hear about that happening, and now it seems to be happening quite a bit. There's so many examples. Thank you, Sam, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The stories are out there. They're just not getting reported in the mainstream media. It's just usually somebody posting on their own social media. Talk Live. Phones are open. If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Bonnie, and Chris in the studio here tonight. And as always, you can bring up whatever you want. I do want to say thanks to Ken Doyle, who is a platinum member of our AMPS program. We launched AMPS to replace the old AMP system, which was unfortunately shut down due to some website technical difficulties, combined with the fact that our credit card processor decided they didn't want to do business with us anymore. After more than a decade of no issues whatsoever, all of a sudden they dropped us. And so we launched our AMPS Patreon, which is going well. We've got over 70 people who signed up for it. So thank you to everybody who's joined over there. And Ken Doyle is a platinum, which means he's contributing at least $25 a month. We only ask for $5. So thank you, Ken, for going above and beyond the request.
Thank you.
Over at amps.freetalklive.com. You get some cool perks. You get some benefits from doing that. And it helps us advertise, market, promote, support Free Talk Live. It's amps.freetalklive.com. So before we had a caller there, we were talking briefly about what happened yesterday. And as I was saying, Bonnie, you were on the show last night, so I'm sure you guys did some recapping of what was a 3-hour-long hearing. And so, I mean, it was pretty lengthy. It started at 3:30 in the afternoon. We got out, you know, just before 7 in the evening. And there were... You counted 80 people in the room, Chris, and that included the people with the masks on, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was only like two or three of the...
Yeah.
Okay, three or four, maybe.
There were like three or four people in there.
I counted each row, basically, mm-hmm. and then added up all the people on the sides that were sitting there. I did not count... That doesn't include the committee hearing people or anybody that was basically around the committee hearing people, because I just assumed that those were people who are like...
Bureaucrats.
Yeah, they're bureaucrats, and I was mostly concerned about counting our supporters.
So one of the things I immediately noticed last night when I walked into the room is that half the committee wasn't there. The seats were half empty. These are 20-plus people. Like, there's usually 20 to 22 people on a committee. Yeah, there's at least 21.
And they left every 5 minutes to go to the bathroom anyway. There was the lady with the mask on at the far right. She left like three times. Like,
I think she's from Keene.
Yeah, and she's the Keene one, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they have to take a phone call. Sometimes they have to go to the bathroom.
All the time. They don't have to listen to the community people talking about why they don't want them to impede on their liberties and change the way that they're living their lives. I mean,
at least they were there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would be less critical of that. I think really, honestly, like, just the fact that nobody shows up is like...
That's worse.
You're supposed to be representing, you know, your people, you know, you got people you're supposed to be representing, and you're doing a poor job of it if you're not showing up to the hearings.
They all did a poor job of it because they all voted against letting the people vote on this constitutional amendment.
You spoiled the surprise.
Almost every single person except I'll say four people that spoke in favor of them voting for it and giving great reasons, a million great reasons.
And of the people who spoke against it, three of them were state reps. So there was really only one person in the audience who spoke against the provision. Everyone else who is not a state representative spoke in favor of voting for this constitutional amendment that would allow the people to vote on this. That's all the question was. It wasn't, are you in favor of independence? It was, are you in favor of allowing the people to have their say? And no, they are not. As you revealed, Bonnie, 21 out of 21 people voted today, this morning. We've got the actual audio that I can bring up here because the discussion is interesting from a, you know, facepalm kind of position. It's just ridiculous what these people have to say for their reasons.
And yeah, one of the, is it fair to get into the reasons, some of the things that they said? Because
you can talk about what you heard last night and then we'll play
one of the things that, you know, they kind of were talking about during a hearing is how it might be treason for them to vote to allow the people to vote on independence.
Yes. And that's what he says.
I wouldn't really have been able to say this during the hearing, I suppose, but one of the things I really wish somebody had responded with is, if you don't think you can support it, that's fine. Step down and,
we'll replace you.
Yeah, right. With somebody who has no problem with voting on this.
But
honestly,
that's ultimately what he was trying to scare the rest of the state reps with. This is one of the state reps who did quote unquote research about this.
It was terrible.
On the stand for 27 minutes yammering about this during the hearing yesterday. He was trying to scare them into thinking they would be removed from office if they voted for this.
And it's really sad to see that these people just blindly followed the words of some guy saying that he spoke to the experts saying that they will get charged with treason if they vote on this. Just that was all it took for them. They didn't do any of their own research at all.
No.
It was all third party stuff that they basically were spouting off. There was even somebody there at the, what was it, the press conference who was a constitutional scholar, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the expert scholar that Brody DeShays spoke to.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. That's the thing I just kind of want to point out. It's like, it's amazing that it's like, okay, so you're going to basically, this guy who doesn't really know what he's talking about, you have him up on the stand and you present him as almost like this expert.
Yeah.
And he did research in quotes. It's like, okay, what, did you spend 5 minutes on the internet? Did you even read the amendment?
He didn't even really research on
it. Didn't sound like
not
he had even read the constitutional amendment that was proposed.
No. It didn't. And I don't believe that he actually went in research to decide if it was constitutional or not. I believe that he had an idea in his head that he was going to tell people that this is not constitutional and went in, found the most convoluted ways to try to twist the Constitution's words to make it seem like what that. Because if he doesn't believe that, then he is an if he really believes what he was saying, he's an idiot. And I don't believe he does. I think he's a manipulative liar.
What it sounded like he did is he went and he searched out this this sort of issue on the internet. And he read some basically propaganda pieces produced by the media. And he didn't actually like consult anybody who knew anything about this at all. It was just, reading a few articles.
Yeah, and he's going to be one of the primary people who is in this video from today. So that last night, just for people that aren't familiar with the process, last night was the public hearing. So anyone who wanted to could show up and speak in favor or against this particular piece of legislation, which, again, would put on the ballot a constitutional amendment question of should we declare independence from the United States peacefully and form our own nation, basically. That was what the hearing was last night. It was in front of a committee of what was supposed to be 21 people, but I didn't count more than 9 at any point in that hearing. There's just people just didn't show up.
I wasn't even clear exactly who were there was on the committee and who wasn't. There was 3 people who talked on the committee out of 9, but I guess not everybody was allowed to talk.
No, the only person who wasn't allowed to talk was DeShays, who had given a speech.
Uh-huh.
And so there's some sort of rule that says he can't ask questions because he had his turn, basically, to say his thing.
Oh, interesting.
Basically.
Okay.
But yeah, anyone who was sitting behind a desk at the front of the room was a state representative.
So there were like 4, I guess there were 4 people who asked questions, I think. And then the rest of them that were there
just
were,
listened.
I guess, state reps, but they just listened.
They're not obligated to ask questions.
Right.
So then this morning, the full committee, everybody was there this morning, no problem. They all showed up and voted on this particular bill. Now, it's just the committee, so now it goes to the state house. The committee voted 21-0 to kill the bill. But they can't kill the bill. All they can do is recommend that the full house kill the bill. And so now it will go in front of a full house vote, and it will be recorded, meaning that every single vote, we will have a record of who votes how on this particular bill. And we're going to put that to good use. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in Liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160 if you want to bring up whatever happens to be on your mind. We're talking about the New Hampshire Independence Constitutional Amendment, the historic hearing that happened last night. Probably the first time in, well, basically the history of New Hampshire, maybe in many states, since the revolution, that the people have had the chance to speak to their so-called elected representatives about independence. And so that happened last night. And we'll talk more about what happened today, where that very committee who heard the, you know, heard the various different testimony last night voted 21-0 to try to kill the bill. And we will dig further into that coming up here in moments. Also want to let you know about Freedoms Phoenix. That is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. If you want the newest and freshest stories and perspectives on current events from those who value liberty, FreedomsPhoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. It's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. That's FreedomsPhoenix.com. Let's go to Anita calling from New York. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
All right, cool. You can hear me?
Loud and clear. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Awesome. Well, I was just wondering, you guys really voted to gain independence?
That was not on the ballot yet. The idea is to get that on the ballot here in New Hampshire. So we're going through a constitutional amendment process, and first it has to go through the state house.
Oh, okay, okay. I was talking with my friend about that earlier, because New York, when, you know, all states every year petition to secede from the union, I remember he put it in a way of, I ghostwrite the whip and the stick. I ghostwrite the whip and the stick.
It's really hard to hear you right now.
He's saying something that is some kind of a meme, it sounds like. I don't think that actually had anything to do with whatever it was he was.
It just sounded like he was getting far away from his phone. I couldn't understand what he was
saying. Thanks for the call. It was pretty lame. 603-283-6160 is the number. So back to the discussion here. We were all in attendance last night. The state reps clearly were quite ignorant last night regarding the amendment. It's very short. Okay, so it's not like a lot of bills where it's pages long, right? Like you have to try to figure out.
Super short.
Yeah, you're just now getting into this, Bonnie. You're doing some bill review, or you're going to be doing some bill review for the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. And some bills are short. Some of them are a couple pages long. But in most cases, you usually have to like compare the bill to what the old statute said. And you've got to go back and forth and see what one of the things changes versus the old. And it gets very confusing and convoluted.
Yep.
This bill, this amendment, not confusing at all. It's like two sentences long. And
you know, it's funny is yeah, you really have to wonder sometimes if these guys know how to read.
Yeah, I mean, the main guy, I don't remember his name, the main committee head, he just couldn't read anybody's name. He read the name Caleb as Celeb.
Celeb, yeah.
Oh my God, he read everything wrong.
Names are I'll give him some leeway in the names department.
But Caleb is like an ancient name. That's just one thing I just thought was crazy. Well, I mean, Aria Demezio,
Caleb is one thing. Caleb is not that hard, but
certainly
some others were.
He used to work with Caleb because Caleb's a former state representative.
Okay, it was just shocking how many times he did it. That's all. It's just, I was like, wow,
this guy
can't read.
He's very old. A lot of these people are very old, which is good for us. Right?
Yeah, because they'll pass away soon.
Right, they're going to go away at some point.
Even if we lose.
New Hampshire, I'm just going to read this and see if it's too confusing for you, okay? Here's what it says. This is what would appear on the ballot if this thing passed. Are you in favor of amending the first part of the Constitution by inserting, after Article 7, a new article to read as follows? Quote, Article 7A, Independent Nation, in brackets. New Hampshire peaceably declares independence from the United States and immediately proceeds as a sovereign nation. All other references to the United States in this Constitution, state statutes, and regulations are nullified.
That's it?
That's it.
It was so annoying last night because somebody came up and asked the question. It was one of the old reps. He came up and asked a question of the reps that are currently So if we put this in, would that mean that we would have references to the U.S. Constitution that would be directly against what the fact that we were a new independent nation? And I literally just want to scream, did you not read the bill?
That's right.
The bill says that all references to the U.S. Constitution would be gone.
I don't think these people understand. This is kind of disturbing, but they don't understand how like the law works, right? So the newer stuff supersedes the older stuff, and this is normal procedure. You don't repeal old law generally. You pass new law that then supersedes the old law.
But you wouldn't have to know that. You would just have to be able to read and have read two sentences.
Right, but he's talking about conflicts, but there isn't a conflict because the new law supersedes the old law, and the new law removes the or changes the old law, so it's no longer the case once you pass the new law.
It would be nice if people we elected to represent us at least knew that, but I wouldn't expect that. But I do expect them to know how to read.
Yes,
I have to wonder if this wasn't just intentional manipulation, right? Yep. They're pretending like they don't, like, you know, as if.
I think they're just that ignorant. Yep. I think they really are.
Think they're that ignorant.
I go back and forth, Chris. Sometimes I think it's them pretending to be dumb. I kept saying that
last night. I mean, I know that, you know, we have, okay, some people do have to understand that our legislature is made up of, I don't know if the word is like lay people or if that's
right. These are not professionals in that they're, you know, experienced legislators. These are average folks who have some other kind of career or they're retired and they're getting paid $100 a year plus a gas stipend to be there. It's basically a volunteer role.
They don't represent a lot of people. 3,300. I think what was it? Somebody, I think we had a conversation with somebody in California where it's like 330,000 or something. Like
that wouldn't surprise me.
He couldn't understand like that's how many people like one of their reps represent, and he couldn't understand like the 3,300 number. He's thinking 33,000 or 330,000 or something. Like he just couldn't comprehend it because just there's that's,
well, for some people it's priceless just to be able to be called honorable by other people.
Oh yeah, they're into honorable the power. Even though there's not a lot of power in one out of 400, because there's 400 state reps here, they are into it. So let's jump into this audio, because we're already kind of addressing some of the things that's going to come up here, because, you know, Brody DeShays is the main character in this. He's the young guy who did all this supposed research and talked to the supposed experts and rambled for half an hour. He rambled for a good tenth of the entire, thing, or if not longer. No, I guess a sixth of the entire hearing last night. And he goes off again with his usual spiel, but the full committee's here for this. This is what happened this morning. And here
it is. Move to the Constitution Amendment, concurrent resolution, 32. Representative DeShays.
That man doesn't know English. The Constitution Amendment.
Well, he's old. I mean, so you do have to give somebody credit.
He's not that old. He's not 90.
He's
looks like
he's
in his 70s, maybe. Yeah. He's not 90.
Well, I mean, men in their 70s are going to die, most of them. So, I mean, this guy's
if
near...
If you make it to 70, man,
you should be able to speak
over the hill.
Still.
Yeah, it's anyway, going on.
Got a motion to make?
I'd rather criticize his ideas.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'd like to motion ITL on CACR 32.
All right, so the code there, ITL, stands for inexpedient to legislate. That basically means he's moving to kill the bill. Now, again, their recommendation isn't final. It just goes on to the full House, and then the full House decides what to do with it.
We have a motion to ITL on 32, Constitution Amendment 32. We have a second. Representative Rawlins seconds the amendment. And would you like to speak to your ITL?
Yeah, I'll be brief. I mean, we...
No, he won't.
Committee, you know, for people that weren't in committee yesterday, the committee asked me questions for probably about 27 minutes straight. And but they were good, and it was a great, stimulating conversation.
This is DeShays?
Many of us.
This is Brody DeShays. He's a young, very young member of the state house.
He's 23.
He's also one of the worst-rated Republicans. So the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, we've talked a lot about how they do a rating of all 400 state reps every year, and they judge them based on how they vote on key issues of freedom. This guy's like a C or a C-minus rated rep.
The way that they grade C's is it would be an F when I went to high school. Because he got a 57.1%.
Yeah.
That's a C.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a bad Republican. Probably the worst Republican.
He's one of the worst ones in the Republican Party. Now, there's a lot of Democrats who are worse than he is, but we're going to continue here. He's just getting started in his critique of New Hampshire independence. He's going to do his best to scare his fellow state representatives who might support this into going with him and going against the bill, which they all ended up doing. More coming up.
Yeah!
It's Free Talk Live. Phones open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. And we do have a social media site there over at social.freetalklive.com. It is our site. We run the thing. It is on our server. It's not being controlled by a big tech mega media corporation like Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. So you have a lot more freedom to speak on social.freetalklive.com. Head on over there and you can follow hosts from the show and other liberty-minded folks who happen to be signed up on the site. But you don't have to be liberty-minded. You can be whoever you want over at social.freetalklive.com. With you tonight, Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
So we're just getting started into what is going to be a 24-minute long discussion between a group of cowards calling themselves state representatives. And one in particular, there were at least two, actually, that spoke to Alu Axelman from the Liberty Bloc, and he's also the president of the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. They told him verbally that they would support this bill, and then they didn't. So why is that?
Typical liars, politicians.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, they say,
cowards.
They say what you want to hear to your face, and then they hope you won't see what they actually do.
Well, we did see.
And most people don't. Most people don't see what the politicians do after they tell them something. They just believe what they said they were going to do. They assume they did it.
There's one nice thing that has come out about because of all the COVID restrictions was that during the COVID initial situation in 2020, they wired the state house up for video. And so that...
huge improvement.
It is a huge improvement. Now, the video feed can be a little janky. You know, it is the government, so they're probably...
It's not an improvement when they were forcing it to be the only way people could come into...
No, that's true, Bonnie. You're right. But now they are having the in-person hearings again, so we're sort of back to normal, basically, in the state house with the Democrats usually wearing masks, but otherwise, you know... And it's funny, too, because it's quite clear...
Yeah, you can identify.
you can usually identify, but not always. There was one guy on the Criminal Justice Committee who's just really old, a really old Republican, and he had a mask on. But usually it's the Dems. They all sit on the same side of the room together, all with their masks. But what was funny, because it was obvious that it's just a political statement... Right, because there's this one young Democrat on this committee that we were in front of last night. She's apparently from Keene. She can't be older than 35 or something like that, maybe 40. She's got a mask on, and the chairman of the committee, who doesn't have a mask on, comes up next to her, leans down next to her, and was like whispering to her something in the middle of one of the speeches that somebody was giving. So he's well within the 6 foot, radius or whatever it is, 6 foot restriction. And she just lets him. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't turn to him and say, "Stand back."
It's a political statement, but <Yeah. laughs> that's so all it is. So just obvious. It's just a political statement.
Yeah, clearly. All right, so back to the video here. We're starting out with Representative Brody DeShays, who is a vehement supporter of the empire. He's the guy that we read the letter from a few days ago on the show where he is attacking New Hampshire independence, and so he's going to try to convince all the reps to go with him and shoot this bill down.
Sat here for 3 hours and listened to testimony, but what we have to remember about the testimony that we heard yesterday.
Did he listen, though?
He sat there for 3 hours. Yeah.
Did he actually listen? I don't think so.
No.
Is the constitutional ramifications were not touched. Even the people who did them
were not touched. Huh. I'm pretty sure I specifically... there were other people who spoke to the Constitution, but I'm pretty sure during my speech, I specifically addressed the constitutional ramifications and specifically talked about how DeShays, because I addressed him during my speech, that he ignored the fact that the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution essentially says that unless something is specifically outlined in the Constitution... then that right is left to the states.
It's amazing how the representative, the people who are attracted to power, they're attracted to become representatives. A large portion of them are liars. Like that's the type of personality
you have to expect it. Yeah.
That you know that gets elected. Unfortunately, if you tell the truth or you're not good at lying, you don't get elected.
Right.
or you don't seek election.
Hmm. Let me go on. So he's lying here. We absolutely addressed the concerns.
Mental gymnastics regarding how the economic and the logistical situation could be remedied.
Mental gymnastics. I mean, people up there, I think I was one of the ones that was the most just emotional and just saying things from the heart. Most people that went up there had very well written, very well put together and researched speeches. There was no mental gymnastics.
What? Nope. And it's actually kind of interesting to call it mental gymnastics because their own, their side, I guess, so to speak, actually said, they had basically come out with something that said that and this is in regards to whether or not New Hampshire would be better off financially because of the money that the federal government gives to New Hampshire and
gives back to you.
Right, right. So,
which is something he ignored during his speech. He just acted like all this money comes in. Where did it come from? Right.
Well, and this actually I think might have been an article, that was written by, you know, that perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And they even acknowledged that it's not. So the libertarians would effectively say something to the effect of we would end up wealthier, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And,
but according to their own stats that they were looking at, now they kind of cherry pick this kind of stuff, but it actually showed that it didn't have a negative effect, okay? So it showed some years we would be doing better and some years we might be doing a little bit worse, but more or less it's at least...
Which is BS.
Right. It's at least we wouldn't be any worse or any better.
That's
right?
We would
be
so much
better off. That's what they're... Well, I agree with you, right? Yeah. But... if you listen to what they are saying, like when they actually bring out the numbers, right, from their perspective, they're already saying that it's not any better or worse. Meaning, like this whole idea that we would somehow be
destitute,
right? Because they're suggesting that if we somehow break away, that we would be destitute, or you know, we would go under, or our society would collapse, or something, or our government would collapse. And there's no evidence of that. Even their own statistics counter that.
Like Carla Garrick mentioned, the average household, if not the average person in New Hampshire, gives $25,000 to the federal government every year in taxes. Yeah.
Think what you could do with an extra $25,000
a lot.
That's a down payment on a house.
$25,000 is like, that's nothing. I mean, between my income taxes and tariffs and people will
be... But you're a business owner.
I'm a business owner.
She's talking about the average.
Right. But here's the thing. Here's what I want to point out. I see it. You know, in my business, I see that $25,000 tariff, you know, that, you know, if we get a, you know, truck of Wi-Fi adapters in or something like that. But people don't understand that when, you know, a year ago, we were charging $34.97 for a Wi-Fi, one particular Wi-Fi adapter. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a $25,000 tariff on that now. That we
25% or
25%. That was 25%. So $25,000 was like $100,000 worth of Wi-Fi adapter somewhere around there. Right. And when we had that $25,000 tariff, it's like, okay, well, now what do we do? Because we can't
keep raise
the same price. So it went from 34 to 40, 30. I think we went from 30. We didn't even raise it as much as we should have. I think we went from 34 to 39.
So you ate it a little bit on profits.
Right, right. But that doesn't mean that there's not other price hikes on other products to compensate for that.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So you're still ultimately ended up, what it means in the scheme of things is if you take a look at, like, if you go into a Walmart store, basically the prices and this is a statistic that Walmart gave out at some point at a press conference of some kind. Hmm. And when they instituted the 25% tariff, Walmart said that prices rose across the store by about 13%.
Wow.
Because the reason for this is because not everything is tariffed. It's tariffed goods are things that are manufactured outside the United States. Mm-hmm. So that's why you're not seeing
a 25% raise
in prices. You're only seeing a 13% raise.
Right.
But that effectively is 13. You're making 13% less. You know, your money's going 13% not as far as it
when
used to.
When you go to buy electronics at Walmart.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And something I want to point out is this is not inflation. This is, well, I mean, this is not the inflation that we talk about when we talk about, you know, inflation, right?
That's right. So, but this is a cost that the consumer has to bear.
Right. So,
and that would be gone in a free New Hampshire.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it would make our business more competitive if we were independent because, and not just my business, actually all of New Hampshire business would be more competitive because not only would we get rid of the tariffs, we would also end up with a simpler sales tax system. So New Hampshire itself doesn't have sales tax.
Right.
But because of recent Supreme Court rulings, New Hampshire or U.S. Supreme Court rulings, every single business now has to collect taxes, even if they don't operate in the state.
Right, but if you're part, if you're not part of the United States anymore, right.
So if
not
we,
your responsibility.
Exactly. If we operated from Canada, we don't have to deal with any of that.
Right.
It's literally they're incentivizing people to move their businesses outside the United States.
Yep, that's right. We got more coming up here. More from this hearing this morning. I guess hearing's not the right word, but executive session, as they call it, where the state reps sit around and they talk about why they're going to kill New Hampshire independence and why they're just a group of cowards. We'll talk about it. They'll give us plenty of stuff to discuss. You're, of course, welcome to join in. The number 603-283-6160. But this doesn't end here. This is just their recommendation, and then it moves to the full house. More coming up.
Is your broken heart stopping you from being authentically happy? My name is Jeremy West, and for a limited time, I am running a free online class to teach you what most people don't know about how to deal with your feelings, the simple way to deal with your negative thinking, the key to breaking your unhealthy relationship patterns, and so much more. No more feeling like a failure who will never find true love. No more self-medicating and ending up feeling even more miserable. And no more feeling like you'll never be someone who deserves an amazing partner. Sound good? You'll discover a new way to finally feel validated and loved. To stop trying to get your self-worth from the very people who tear it down. And to put you in control of your own happiness so you never surrender that control to another person again in as little as 8 weeks. Register now for my free online class at beyondyourbreakup.com/free class. That's beyondyourbreakup.com/free class.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
We are digging into what happened this morning. After last night, there was a three-hour-long hearing where the public, people, rather, were able to speak to their so-called representatives about independence, and specifically about a bill that would simply put on a ballot in 2022, in November 2022, the question for voters to answer as to whether or not we should peacefully declare independence from the United States. That's all this bill would have done. It simply would have handed the question to the people. But all 21 of these state representatives decided they were going to side with the federal government and stop anyone from expressing their opinion on a ballot about this.
I thought it was kind of humorous how they were talking about how they were like talking about how this would like destroy democracy or something. But at the same time, isn't that exactly what they were doing by refusing to allow the people to vote on
to have a democratic vote?
Right, to have a democratic vote.
Yeah, that's
on the
exactly
issue.
Right.
It just seemed so hypocritical. Yeah.
I have a side note, a little off topic. I just realized we were out there talking about a bill to declare our independence, and I wish they had started off my speech, "For years, we have fought these machines."
That would have been great.
The Morpheus quote.
Yeah.
So we got the video up from this morning's hearing. This is the discussion that transpires between the state reps on the Federal Relations Committee prior to their vote to try to kill this bill, which, again, by the way, they can only vote to recommend that the full House kill it. The full House will vote on this. So we will find out what all 400 of them, or however many of them have to be in the room on the day, have to say about it, probably within the next week or so. It may come up as soon as next week on Thursday. I don't know how long of a break we're going to have, but it will be soon.
Ramifications.
So this is Brody DeShays, the pro-federal, pro-empire, young Republican state rep here.
So we're not touched. Even the people who did the mental gymnastics regarding how the economic and the logistical situation could be remedied. At the
I'm
end of the day, we have to...
We- article about how he's the one doing the mental gymnastics, going over every single word he said.
And the crazy thing about this is, like, the constitutional amendment isn't what would resolve any issues that got created. That's not how you would do that. The constitutional amendments, if you look at them, they're actually short, and it's left up to the legislature to pass laws to
adopt,
you know, whatever it fixes. Because you can't change the constitutional amendment. You can change the law, though.
Yeah, and that actually is an objection that the chairman of the committee brings up, is that he wants a plan Like, there's no
That's
plan.
That's not
here,
how that works.
And it's like, you can't put a constitutional amendment in that is 20 pages of, you know, whatever they think they might do once this thing.
Because it doesn't give you room to adapt, to change over time.
You want to keep the amendment short because people have to read it.
Yeah. Imagine, right? Imagine if they, like, dictated in the Constitution, I don't know, something that was like,
how we're supposed to do trade with giant, you know, boats they used to use in the 1600s.
It's actually kind of humorous because they actually do have some things like that in the Constitution, and they were mistakes. Yeah. And I think like things like how we deal with tribes and things like Native Americans, right? Like it is a really terrible solution. It seemed okay at the time, but because it's in the Constitution,
it's hard to get it out.
It's hard to remove. It's hard to change. And so we don't. And it's like, and everything that we do in response is basically just violating the Constitution because it's not workable. It's not a workable solution. However, had it been in law, it would have been, you know, it would have been adaptable. And basically the Constitution, only things that, you know, you don't want to make easy to change, like independence, should be passed in that way. And then any changes, you know, in regards to trade or, you know, basically anything that, you know, will change over time should be written into law.
He took an oath to the U.S. Constitution, to the state constitution. That oath recognizes by taking that oath to both constitutions and with both constitutions recognizing joint sovereignty over issues in this country. It doesn't make sense for us to be violating that oath as legislators. There's also
I don't think any of those specific people, you know, signed a contract with the federal government to become part of it.
And they did take an oath, though. The oath says, and oaths are to be generally considered a serious thing to do, and the oath does reference allegiance to the United States. So he is saying that he would consider himself in violation of that oath by voting in favor of letting the people make this decision.
So are you in violation of your oath for trying to change your oath? And if that's the case, then you can never...
You can't get out.
Right.
That's like, what he's arguing.
But the other thing he's arguing is even more insidious and stupid, and it's the mental gymnastics I'm talking about. It's because he believes, and I was going over everything he said in the video that you took this morning, he believes that by voting to allow the people of New Hampshire to... for voting to put odds pass on this, which would ultimately help this bill get through legislation and the people would be allowed to vote on whether or not to leave the Constitution. He believes that he is part of a constitutional process. And by being part of a constitutional process to do something that he believes is treasonous, he could be charged with treason. And he's, you know, breaking his oath that way. He's really not. All he's doing is allowing the people to make an amendment the way that the complete
he's not voting to leave
way
the United
that they're
States.
Supposed to do it.
This is like selling your child into slavery and then saying, well, you can't change that because you're already a slave. This is not moral. If that is the case, if your oath really says that you can't change it through the formal legal process, that's I mean, that you shouldn't have sworn that oath.
Yeah, and let's just say he's on to something here, and that it is somehow a violation of his oath to the United States to be allegiant with the United States, whatever they do. Right? So they go and they're bombing innocent people around the world. You have to stay allegiant
and
with
isn't
them.
There another issue? Because you're effectively forced to take that oath in the first place. So how can you even
Yeah, you can't join the office and not take the oath, supposedly.
So,
if I were to ever be elected to state rep, I would refuse to say that part of the oath.
Right,
and then what happens?
Right, you probably won't be allowed in office. And if you won't be in office, you have
Because it's constitutional.
Right.
That oath of office is in the U.S. Constitution, or not the U.S., it's in the New Hampshire Constitution, and the words United States were added later on.
Wow.
It wasn't there in the beginning. That was something that they added later. So anyway, the point that I wanted to make on this is even if it is a violation of the oath, didn't they already violate their constitution? The United States has violated their own constitution in so many different ways. Why would you be obligated to stay in allegiance with them when they haven't upheld their obligations?
They should be allowed to stay or get out of their allegiance with the U.S. Constitution, at least just simply based on the fact that nobody isn't allowed to use his First Amendment right to free speech right now.
There's one reason.
They only need one, but there's trillions.
There are so many other reasons this is hypocritical too, just because okay, so if we're going to be not hypocritical, then you should be supporting the return of the king. Because effectively, yes, it was illegal to declare independence from Great Britain.
And so, there was actually a guy who made that point last night. Right, it was hilarious.
Right. It's like seriously, you are a bunch of hypocrites if you actually think that this is somehow like violating your oath, or that, you know, we can't break away because it would be illegal.
Yeah, and when that guy got up, and he was hilarious, by the way, I talked to him afterwards. Yeah. He's a Free Talk Live listener. He actually drove up from Virginia to make that statement in front of this hearing.
So it was great.
We didn't play what he did, but it was
hilarious.
Yeah, if you go to the Free Keen Odyssey channel, go to video.freekeen.com. It's a long video. It's 3 hours long. It's the guy with like the long hair ponytail.
Yeah,
and he's really tall and
blondish.
He's I forget his name, but he's from Virginia, and he gets up there and he acts as though he's like a British, he's a
loyalist.
Loyalist. He's a loyalist to the British, and he says we need to go back to the Queen. Basically,
yeah,
it's hilarious.
And I can still consider myself part of the, whatever it is, the right kingdom, the, yeah,
it's that video clip that should be cut from that long video, because yeah, it's such great content.
Yeah. And then the chairman of the committee is like, well, that's never gonna happen.
Idiot.
So he understands.
He's extremely dim, I'm telling you.
We're
guys
gonna continue here in moments. We got lots more from this hearing, the discussion they had this morning prior to voting against letting the people have their say on independence. There's more coming up, though. The number is 603-283-6160. If you want to join the discussion, you can also take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open here. If you want to join us, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Bitcoin.com. It is a great place to go and get started learning about cryptocurrency. You can head over to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started at the top of the page, and that will take you to some introductory videos. If you're in a super rush, just watch the first one. It'll take you, I think, about 3 minutes of your time. You'll get some of the basic concepts down, and I suspect you're going to want to watch some more after that to learn more and dig in deeper into the world of crypto. There is a little bit of a learning curve. You should understand some of the basic concepts, the new ideas like decentralization, distributed blockchain ledgers, and things like that that you can learn over at Bitcoin.com. Click Get Started at the top of the page. If you're not new, however, to crypto and you want the latest news headlines, just get over to news.bitcoin.com. Speaking of news about Bitcoin, wow, is it on a discount right now? It has dropped like a rock. Today, scraping as low as $35,400. Right now, it's just above $36,400. And just looking here at the last week, it's down 15%. So it literally fell off a cliff, I guess, during maybe the overnight hours last night. But wow.
Yeah, it definitely is a good time to
buy.
I want to say buy in. I hate buying, though. I really do.
It's better to earn
it. Much rather earn it. I'd much rather receive it as payment.
Somebody has to buy it.
And for that matter, spend it.
Somebody has to put the dollars into fiat dollars into Bitcoin.
Yep. And it's usually a good plan to do it over time. Don't do it all at once, but, you know, get some at the end. You know, if you get paid on Friday, get some on Friday in 1 week, then get some on the next Friday, and then, you know, it's just sort of add to your Bitcoin balance over time. That's my opinion. You know, I'm not a financial expert, but that's what I believe.
Preferably, my preferred method of acquiring it is providing services and products.
But
you know, another way is some people get it is, you know, they ask for it as a form of payment and their paycheck is, you know, sometimes it's a percentage or something of that nature. And if you can do it, if you have an employer who's taking crypto, that might be a good way to get it.
Check
out. So don't get to decide what price you get it at if you just get it when you're earning, but you do if you buy it.
Check out Bitcoin.com. We go to your calls and thoughts. Jordan is on the line in our very own New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jordan.
Thanks. I was just going to mention I attended the hearing yesterday in Concord, and I was thinking about some questions regarding money and finance, and I was thinking that if we modeled ourselves on Switzerland and became even possibly New Switzerland, you know, diplomatically, environmentally, and especially financially, then that could perhaps address some of the issues that were brought up.
Now, when you talk about Switzerland, you know, diplomatically, you mean neutrality, meaning that they don't get involved in global conflicts?
Yeah, I mean, it would be written into the Constitution that, you know, there would be no war outside the borders of any aggressive type.
Doesn't Japan have something like that, too?
They didn't in the past. Maybe they do now. But
Post-1950
yeah,
or whatever.
I don't know. It's an interesting question.
That would be a great idea. I mean, I don't know about modeling ourselves exactly after Switzerland. Doesn't sound like they're the freest place in the world to me, but... I do like the idea of writing in that we will not get involved in other countries' foreign conflicts.
It's about neutrality, though. It's not about their form of government. No, I don't necessarily think like that's a terrible idea. It seems like a very liberty-minded stance to take. And you know, at the end of the day, it's like, who are you going to invade? What are you going to do with that army that you, if you, let's say New Hampshire became independent and you put together an army, who are you going to invade? You're going to invade the United States? I mean, what could you possibly gain from invading the United States, right? Like, your numbers are going to just be so lopsided in terms of military powers. You're going to invade Canada? Same thing. Canada is small in terms of population and military power, but it's still...
bigger than New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's still bigger than New Hampshire, right? It's still going to be able to outwage war on us. What are we going to do? Are we going to go overseas? I mean, most militaries don't have overseas capabilities, least not to the degree where they could actually go across a huge ocean like that. Even Russia doesn't really have the capability. I mean, they can shoot some nukes at us, but they don't have the naval forces and ability to come over and invade.
They could probably easily bomb Alaska.
They can bomb all they want, but they can't take it over. Like, there's a difference of taking something over and bombing, you know, bombing the heck out of another nation, right?
By the way, Switzerland, according to the Fraser Institute Index of Economic Freedom, the rankings for 2019 show Switzerland at number 4 on the planet. So after Hong Kong, Singapore, and New Zealand, Switzerland is... the most economically free country.
One of the things that's neat about Switzerland is Switzerland we think of it as a country, but it's actually more of a country of countries. And as I understand it, Switzerland is more of what the United States was supposed to be. It's basically made up of, I mean, it would be more of an
independent states.
It's more like, I think their counties are basically more or less independent of each other.
Jordan,
there's very little federal
involvement.
Yeah, there's a very, very weak federal government.
Jordan, have you ever been there? Are you familiar with that structure?
Well, I know that they were founded in 1300, and they were founded as a confederacy or a confederation. And I think they were federalized or nationalized in the 1800s or something like that. But I what you're saying sounds familiar as far as their organizational structure.
Yeah, most of the like laws are at it would be like akin to a county, but they're effectively independent. They're not fully independent nations. Don't get me wrong, but the federal government doesn't have that power to like dictate stuff, you know, at the county sort of pseudo county level, basically.
Nice.
Jordan, anything else about it you want to share tonight?
No, I would like to say that, you know, the reasons why, you know, New Hampshire would make the same decision as, you know, the same reason why Switzerland left the Holy Roman Empire. You know, they were tired of the war and the, you know, constant terror, it seemed like.
Thanks, Jordan, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The numbers... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just crazy that the representatives last night acted like, oh, it could never happen. It could never happen. And Switzerland is an example of basically exactly what we would be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Secession can and has happened all around the world in, you know, every continent.
But it's a perpetual union.
It's just one example. There are many, many examples of, I mean, think about the history of civilization. It's thousands of years we're talking about, and there's a lot of change that's occurred. I mean, it's literally been probably on a generational basis. The fact that we've actually gone 200 years is actually
200 something. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually like, in some respects, that's a long time to not have a major change in government.
We're due.
We're coming to the end here. And one of the speakers, more than one last night, made the point that we're in the decline of the empire and you better get out before it crumbles in upon itself, because it's going to get ugly and we can avoid a lot of that ugliness by simply walking away. But yet these people have, like, you know, a U.S. ethnocentrism or whatever, right? Like they truly believe, or U.S. exceptionalism, they truly believe the United States is this God-created thing that is unending and it shall last for all eternity and you can't leave.
Yeah, it's sad. It's very, you know, this is sad.
It's delusional.
It's sad, but it reminds me very much of North Korea in that respect. Mm. You know, the population is brainwashed.
And, yeah, that's true.
It's like nobody questions that. Like, they're brainwashed.
Right, they don't have a dear leader like they do in North Korea, but the dear leader is the United States. It is. As an idea.
They've effectively accomplished what North Korea has, you know, through maybe in some respects less drastic means, but they've achieved the same results.
There's more coming up here. If you want to join us, you can weigh in. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com. Talk Live, phones open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about independence and the bill that has now been rejected by the State House committee that first heard it. Now, that doesn't mean that it's done. Apparently, it is now going to go to the full State House, all 400 reps, and they will have what's called a roll call vote.
Do you know when?
It ain't done, even if the 400 votes goes down.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Because this is going to come back again and again and again.
I hope so.
And
it takes having reps with the guts to do this, though.
It does.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens to the seven reps. It's going to be interesting to see because seven reps put this forward. There's been a lot of heat put on them by the mainstream media and the people that love the United States. So the question is, can Mike Sylvia retain his seat if he runs again this year?
It's an interesting question. I suspect the answer is yes. But,
I hope so.
Yeah, and I hope so too, for sure. But if he does,
that's a good sign for this.
It absolutely is. And I think we're going to... I think this is we've had a major, major, major breakthrough. Just the fact that we got this on... We got reps to... You know, sign on board when it makes them kind of a pariah.
It makes them a target.
Yeah, it makes them a target. And the fact that we've done that, I think, has just demonstrated the growth of
the movement.
The movement, you know, the Free State Project, the larger migration movement, the fact that we're actually having, and they even were talking about at the hearing itself, the effectively the enemy was saying, and I'm constantly hearing this now from, you know, the Democrats and Republicans that. We've taken over, and it's like we haven't. That's an exaggeration.
We're late, maybe a tenth of the.
We're getting there, and they're right about that.
And it wasn't even all the Liberty reps. That was, you know, it was actually several who weren't Free Staters who signed on to this, and it was a couple who were Free Staters. It's going to be interesting to see how the so-called Liberty reps end up voting on this. Are they going to vote against this because they want to
pander? Vote against their own bill?
No, not their own bill, but the Liberty reps. There's like 40 of them.
You're talking about the other liberty-minded people, right?
The ones
because they're also afraid, especially at this point in time, because again, the Liberty people don't have they don't dominate, right?
Right.
It's, you know, at most 100 people out of at least for the House out of 400.
There are things that the people who are the establishment, who are against this bill. The Democrat and Republican quote-unquote leadership, the establishment, are against this bill. And so it'll be interesting to see if they threaten their members. And
they
what
do
they
that.
Planted.
They definitely do that.
So they could do that. Let's go to your calls, though, and thoughts. Dominic, you're on Free Talk Live calling from Ohio. Go ahead.
Hey, first of all, did you guys see the article written by NHPR? It was a pretty good, well-written article today.
Yeah, it was all right. Of course, they dragged out the claim that Mike Sylvia used racist language, mm-hmm. and then when they're referring to something he said about he wasn't being a racist. He was simply saying that we could pander to people who want to close the border down.
Yeah, this is slander and manipulation.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. That part I didn't care for, but you know, I still appreciate the fact that they sent a reporter out to the press conference because he was the only mainstream media reporter there that I could identify.
Agreed. Yeah. Anyway, reason for my call tonight. I've got a friend from high school, and. He got a master's in economics, if that tells you anything, but he's like fallen really big time down like the leftist, like he loves these government programs and, you know, he's a big statist.
Has he ever seen like he loves power? Because I feel like if you learn about the way that the United States uses economics wrongly, then you start to love it. He just must want power.
Maybe. He's always like bringing up stuff deliberately to me to kind of get me going. And I feel like I waste my energy with him trying to, you know, debate. I'm just wondering, it's kind of an age old question, but how do you guys personally deal with people who, you know, you just can't stand what they believe and, you completely disagree with what they bring up all the time?
I moved to New Hampshire.
Yeah. I don't really have that problem here.
Well, I have the problem since I've newly moved from Texas to New Hampshire. I have the problem like on social media, like people that used to be my friends that are always posting things that are like so contrary to what I believe in. They know I believe it. So I usually just remove them from my friends list. I mean, one thing you can do if you really care about this person is ask him when he brings up, you know, like, oh, did you know that printing more money is actually like the best way to run America? Obviously, I'm making him sound stupid on purpose, but you just ask him, do you actually think that that's the best way to make the world a better place? And how are they going to defend that? I don't see how Keynesians can defend their viewpoint if you ask them that.
The crazy thing is people are saying that. They are saying we just should print more money.
Yeah, I mean, questions are the best way. Just to get to your question here, Dominic, it is always the best way to have a conversation with somebody is to ask questions. You know, hopefully you can get them thinking from a different perspective. But the odds are, you know, or if this person doesn't seem to be able to analyze his own positions or answer a question honestly, won't answer a question honestly, then it might be time to move on and find a different group of people to spend your time with, because your time's limited.
Yeah, I you know, it's interesting. I kind of have an interesting perspective on this. I think I'm somewhat insulated. I kind of live in a bubble, but at the same time, I like to hear what other people are saying. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good, especially for those who have moved to New Hampshire. So, but at the same time, I wouldn't waste my breath. I mean, I do a lot, I guess, but I try to avoid wasting my breath, you know, trying to convince people, right? It's better not to have to convince people of your ideas, but to convince people, I'd rather convince people to move who share my ideas.
That's
my
hard
views,
enough.
Right. That's hard enough, right? Like, I'm not going to, you know, waste my breath trying to convince somebody who I'm not going to convince anyway. You know, it's like people rarely change their mind. And if they do change their mind, they're likely to be convinced by somebody else in the opposite direction next week.
That
so
can be true.
You know, I much rather talk to people who actually care about the same things I do. And if they do, there's a good chance that I don't have to convince them to move. They're just going to do it on their own because they share the same ideas I do.
Anything else, Dominic?
That's all. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. The number is 603-283-6160. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live calling from New Mexico. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Have you guys heard that? You know, the smokers, they have a hard time with the coronavirus as opposed to non-smokers.
I think they have a hard time with most diseases as opposed to non-smokers. It's just all around bad for you.
So do fat people, by the way. People who are very overweight have a very difficult time with COVID. In fact, I believe some study recently showed that COVID specifically targets fat cells. So it almost seems as though it was designed to take out the fattest people, which is kind of interesting.
Seems like it's targeted to kill people with health problems, and certainly that would include obese people and elderly. It's almost like they're trying to curtail possibly. I mean, it almost seems like it's the purpose is prosperity, because if you kill off
the weakest,
this is the craziest thing. Well, you kill off the weakest people. You actually do end up with some prosperity, whether it's Nazi Germany when they killed off old people.
But that's only if that's all it did. Instead, they went and locked down people who were.
This is true. This is true. That's the counter thought to this.
So the government regulations actually killed prosperity, and then the COVID killed other people.
The other time that I'm thinking of, and again, Nazi Germany I'm not suggesting we do that, but the other time was when there's plagues, when half the population basically died out. Post those plagues, there was actually a lot of prosperity.
Sarah, your thoughts?
I mean, the bubonic plagues and the Spanish flu, there was a lot of prosperity.
Are real bad situations.
Yeah,
bubonic plague.
We're talking about
eliminated a third of Europe or whatever.
After immediately following the plagues, because of resources being plentiful relative to what they were before. Now all of a sudden people were able to prosper.
Well, there is something to be said, and thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. Of nature does cull its herd from time to time, using things like natural disaster, using things like plague. If you look at forests,
things like the government to create viruses.
They regularly burn. Forests burn, right?
Yeah.
And then new growth comes
up.
And it's fresher and it's stronger. Hey, thanks for the call, Sarah. We got more coming up here. You can join us. We also have a lot more. We've gotten through a minute and a half of this video. So far from the committee hearing this morning.
There's just so much dumb in it.
There really is. We can mine the hell out of it. And you can, of course, call in as well. Bring up whatever you want. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, open phones. If you want to join the show, the number 603-283-6160. And we'll also continue picking apart this discussion state reps had here in New Hampshire this morning about independence, specifically about the question of whether or not the people should be able to vote on it. 21 out of 0 on the committee said, nope, people should not be able to vote. We will decide. And with you tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
Don't forget, you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. We have a lot of features on the site. They're all free. So head over at freetalklive.com. You can download archives of the show anytime you want. You can also join our podcast. Put that into your podcast client. Just go to feeds.freetalklive.com. You'll find the podcast RSS feed there. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. And we're raising money for Give Directly, which is the first nonprofit that allows you to give money directly to people living in extreme poverty. Research shows giving cash to people living in poverty can help drive a range of important positive changes in their lives, like employment, nutrition, health, and education. Plus, that cash allows individuals to invest in what they need instead of relying on people thousands of miles away choosing for them. Over at Give Directly, they've delivered over $400 million to over a million people in just the last decade alone. And what they do is they send them mobile money, basically giving them cash with no strings attached. If you want to help them out, they're helping right now people in Bemet and Kilifi counties in Kenya who are in serious need of assistance. And we are matching your donations of up to $30,000 in total. So if you want to help out, go to give.freetalklive.com. That's give.freetalklive.com. Steve is in Michigan. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering with crypto, I have a question because I am a crypto investor and I was wondering, but I do it all publicly, through Coinbase. I was wondering, is there any way that you can anonymously get cryptocurrency?
As far as anonymous cryptocurrency, you would want to go through another individual would seem like the best way to me. I mean, even though that's not truly anonymous because they obviously know who you are.
What do you mean by anonymous?
Well, just that they because I feel like, I like the concept of counter economics, and I think that it's very powerful when it comes to combating state power. And I think I just don't know how to
engage in counter economics through cryptocurrency. I also am a precious metals holder, but I do have cryptocurrency, but it all is trapped. Like, so
you're against the economy?
Well, counter economics in the sense that mainstream economics, basically, you know, everything is tracked, right? So counter economics is the idea that you resist the state through hiding economic activity. Basically.
I've never heard that term before.
It's a kind of a left liberal or left libertarian viewpoint. If you look up Samuel Konkin, he wrote a paper about it. It's about agorism. You've probably heard of agorism.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Agorism is generally considered counter-economics.
Oh, okay.
Because you're sort of against the standard system, basically, as I understand it. But so, Steve, you may want to look into privacy coins. There are a bunch of them out there. There's, of course, Monero, which is the biggest one. There's also a lot of people like the pirate coin, which is called three R's or something like that come after that. So there's those two, and there's probably half a dozen, if not a dozen or more, alternatives out there. So
I just want to know, do you have the internet, Steve? Because most people learn about this themselves via videos. I just don't get it. I mean, it's like Sarah calling us and asking about essential oils when she could Google it, but she's afraid of touching the public computers.
Well, type in startpage.com in your browser and you will find a search engine. And if you search for like Monero or R or something like that, you can definitely find sites that will tell you more about this.
There are also websites out there that will allow you to exchange cryptocurrencies without having any kind of ID requirement. So, and I don't know offhand what they are, but there are several of them out there. They, of course, will take a fee in order to do that. So you could take whatever Bitcoin or whatever you want and just flip it into one of the privacy coins and, then just don't tell anyone that you have it, I guess. So there you go.
So you think that the privacy coins are probably pretty private, though? Like, it's not something that the government or prying eyes could get, their hands on?
Well, I'm not a programmer, so I can't tell you that I have actually reviewed the code myself, but it certainly seems like the Monero, for instance, is very trusted in places like darknet marketplaces. That to me is a hallmark of quality right there. But, the IRS is demanding that, I think they put up like a $500,000 bounty for anyone that can crack Monero. There's no doubt they're trying, but by all public indicators, at least, they have not succeeded at cracking that system.
Yeah, they can link stuff in some instances, like if you use it wrong and things like that, potentially. It's kind of like encryption. If they seize your phone just because you have Signal on it, and Signal is a terrible example, but they're going to be able to access your encrypted messages, right?
All right. Well, okay. So I have another question. Okay. I don't know how I could I'm sure Google would have some answer, but I want to know your guys' opinion. If I were to, so I'm heavily invested into crypto right now. If I wanted to sell it, is there a safe way to do that without getting government ire from that? Like,
you should just spend it instead.
As far as I understand, there's nothing illegal about selling it. It's again, I'm not a lawyer, so you should consult a lawyer, but you should be able to sell it. Most of it is about regulations, right?
Yeah, I think,
like,
the
so
problem,
that you do it correctly.
I think the problem is that if you sell it through like an online system where they track you, then they would potentially report you to the IRS as a capital gains, I guess would be the concern that a lot of people have about selling it. But if you have a group of people that they're locals who have some crypto or they want some crypto and you sell it privately to that person, then it's up to you to report to taxes, and that's your choice.
And this is not financial advice, right, Ian? It's not financial advice.
I'm not a financial advisor, so I said it's up to you. You've got to know, whether or not you want to report this stuff. It's, there's risks involved in not doing that.
Right, because how do they classify it? Is it a security? Is it a treasury?
I have no idea.
They all
idea.
Classify it
is
differently.
It
they all disagree.
Yeah, I have no idea what they believe. They constantly change what they believe, and as Bonnie points out, every federal bureaucracy has their own opinion about it. So there's no real clear anything about when it comes to crypto. And it's, to me, it's not even clear how you could possibly keep track of it, honestly. Like, they supposedly they want you to keep track of how much you paid for it and then somehow know when you sell that exact crypto and how much you sold it at. And to me, that's like, that's an impossible task. If you buy regularly,
unless they individually target you, there's no way that they would really know what is going on. But, you know, I mean, it's a hard thing because it's like, you know, if you try and, because, you know, you want to try and subvert the government essentially because they're harming everyone, right? They're super evil. So you know, through counter economics, right? Through basically trying to avoid the system and use currencies that can't be monitored by them. They'll try and find out if you're doing that, and then they'll try and come after you for it. Right?
Yeah, well, the fact is, if they want to come after you, they're going to come after you.
I don't think that's an accurate description, to be honest. Most of us are going through legal processes for stuff. And this idea that it's some sort of, you're suggesting that we're operating some sort of criminal enterprise here, and I'm not a big fan of that. I don't think anybody's operating any kind of criminal enterprise.
Well, no, I'm not suggesting that at all. I mean, trust me, I don't think that it's criminal what you guys are doing. I think what you're doing is courageous.
We're not doing anything. We're running a radio show.
Yeah, what are you saying?
He keeps saying you're trying to go around paying taxes.
You're putting words in
Her mouth. He's putting words in her mouth. That's what you're trying to do.
I didn't say that. I think that people should be able to engage in commerce without having the prying eyes of the government.
You should at least do the littlest amount of research on cryptocurrency before you call in saying you're a big time investor and you don't know what Monero is.
I don't know if I go that far, but
Monero is. I didn't say that. I'm not a big time investor. I put about 10 grand into it. I don't think that, mostly I'm in Bitcoin and Ethereum, and I'm in actually a next generation, crypto called Fusion. That's sort of it was researched by the European Central Bank, and I think, you know, they're going to want to switch to blockchain soon because it seems like in their paper anyway that they want people to attach their identification.
Governments always want people to be identifying themselves and giving them all kinds of information. Thank you, Steve. I wish you the best at figuring out what to do, because they definitely want to control you and they definitely want to track you.
Oh, for sure.
And I do agree that you shouldn't be.
Yeah, I agree. I believe in privacy.
There are alternatives out there that will give you a little bit more privacy. More coming up.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and the phones are open here. If you want to join us, we're picking off the third hour of the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
We're going to continue with more of your calls and thoughts, and then on the way, more from the continued discussion here in New Hampshire about independence. The state... not the state, but the state representatives have put forward, some of them have put forward an independence amendment, a constitutional amendment, that if it were passed through the state house and the state senate, it would get a hearing. It did get a hearing. It would get a vote by the people on the ballot this November. Right now it's in the state house, and it is working its way through the system. Unfortunately, it's encountered its first roadblock in the form of the first committee that heard the bill last night in a three-hour-long hearing and then ultimately voted 21-0 to try to kill the bill earlier this morning. We've got more of that audio coming up here in moments. But first, El Conejo is on the line in New Mexico. El Conejo, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was just calling to answer that last caller, Steve's question. There's a site called agoradesk.com. Mm-hmm. And there you can basically look for people in your area and put up a buy order or a sell order or answer people's orders if you like what their price is for buying or selling. And you have options for credit card or cashier's check or cash in person. It's got end-to-end messaging, encryption and encrypted messaging. And it's also got escrow payments. So mm-hmm. the person who's selling puts the funds in escrow. You can show up with cash. You don't even have to know each other's names. There's a reputation ranking system, kind of like Yelp or Amazon, for how trustworthy is this person type of thing. So like 97% with 500 trades. And you can select among a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, and you can even choose what type of currency, fiat currency you're trading in. So if they eliminate the US dollar, the market might just switch to pesos or something, or yen. But
yeah, I know the site. It's basically kind of what the original Local Bitcoins was. Local Bitcoins used to allow people to meet in physical, real life. And then yeah. they got rid of that from Local Bitcoins a few years ago. So it's no longer local. So this site kind of brought that back, basically. And don't they have Monero on agoradesk.com?
They do. They have a pretty wide selection of cryptos. I'm not interested in a lot of them, but they definitely have Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin Cash I saw on there, Monero for sure. But yeah, there's a handful of them at least.
Very cool. That's a good site from what I understand. Anything else you want to share?
Well, even if they shut that website down, they're working on a decentralized one.
Nice.
Kind of like a torrent type site. And I'm hoping they'll include silver and gold and gold backs, so you can buy crypto with gold or silver or cash.
Well, with a name like Agora Desk, it definitely sounds like there's a libertarian behind the site.
Sounds cool.
yeah.
For sure.
Well, that's all I had.
Thanks for the call, El Conejo. I appreciate hearing from you. The number 603-283-6160. There was a darknet market that had the word Agora in it years ago, and I'm not remembering. There was like another word. It was an Agora something. It came after Silk Road.
Oh, yeah. It was shut down, I think, wasn't it?
No, Agora.
That was the one that didn't get shut down.
I think it was just like Agora Market or something like that. It was something simple. They didn't get shut down, but they kind of caught wind that something might happen to them.
Yep.
Somehow, maybe somebody tipped them off or whatever. And I remember they made an announcement that said,
"Oh, that we were respectable." Closing. They were respectable because they closed. They closed like after giving out people their money back or something.
It says it was just called Agora.
Oh, that was it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Agora, I think people referred to it as Agora Market because it was a free market.
Yeah,
site.
Because a lot of them, a lot of times when these marketplaces shut down, they take your money and disappear. Whereas this one, they didn't shut down before they gave people the opportunity.
Like a month basically, and they said, "All right, if you don't get everything out by this time, we're taking it, but otherwise you got this amount of time to get it out." So that's pretty unusual in the world of darknet markets.
It is. It's very unusual.
And I think White House Market did that recently. They shut down last year and also gave their – I don't know how much time they gave their users to exit, but they also did – so we'll call it the honorable exit.
Yeah.
For darknet markets.
Yeah, this is one of those things where it's like I kind of on the one hand I'm like – It's something that you kind of just have to I feel like people should expect to lose everything like when they're using them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's because one of the problems too is if somebody's, you know, taking the risk and they're operating this marketplace and they have to shut it down for some reason, they, you know, keeping it open for another couple of weeks, that puts them at risk.
Yeah.
So, you know, you should expect when you're on the darknet that something have to go down, it might not come back up.
Yes.
For security reasons. So
All right, let's jump back in here to this video that we're all of a minute and a half into so far with state representatives. I'm not going to call this a debate. They're just discussing why they are opposed to independence and why people shouldn't be able to vote on it. Here's more from this morning's hearing in the Concord State House Legislative Office building.
You know, people supporting this, we enter into a very gray area regarding whether or not that is rebellion and whether or not that is that's grounds for removal from office, which is a very scary thing to think about. It's something
so
that would.
Why is that so scary? I mean,
it's
he's not even talking about being prosecuted.
Yeah.
Worst case,
removal
he's talking about
from office,
losing their precious state house position.
$100 a month and power. Yeah.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, a lot of these reps, they're not your traditional, you know, politicians.
No.
In that they don't stick around for. I mean, they might do a session. They might come. They're not lifelong politicians, right?
Right.
They come, they go, they do a few terms, and that's it, right?
Yeah, there are a few exceptions to that, but generally that's true.
Yeah, there's this.
I'm definitely not trying to suggest that there's nobody who's been there for 20 years or more. There are politicians in the state house that have been there 20 years or more.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that a lot of them, that's not a good percentage of them. It's just not. That's just not how things operate in New Hampshire. And then part of that's because we have so many reps. You know, if you try to pay off, you know, 400, and that's just in the state house. If you try to pay off 400 reps, that's a lot harder to do than paying off, you know, a handful. Yeah,
yeah,
right. And, you know, other states.
Disenfranchised voters. It's something that is, to me, it's a, you know, should we really be forcing not only the U.S. Constitution into a, into, you know, disarray, but should we also be forcing this body into a situation where we have to start asking the question, should a legislator be sitting within this body? And, you know, we discussed that at length yesterday. And
I guess we'll see what happens to the legislators who have supported this legislation to allow people to vote on independence. Are they going to kick them out? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, this is something that should be left to the voters. You know, if people feel that these are, you know, threats,
traitors.
You know, traitors. Yeah. Let the people vote them out because we. And
yeah. Every 2 years we have elections.
Right. I was about to say every 2 years. That's. This is not hard to get rid of somebody who's, you know, a bad legislator. You just have to wait. And there's no point to kicking him out. There's no point to a trial. Just let the population decide. Either
the whole state is up for vote in November this year. So we'll see.
I think the constitutional argument against it was quite sound. I think the argument that was brought forward by members of the committee was quite sound. And I don't think anyone who testified yesterday in favor could properly address that other than if they believe that the U.S. Constitution is has no legal authority.
I mean, lots of people did say that, but lots of people addressed it just the fact that we have the authority to leave just because of the fact that our Constitution gives us the authority to leave. So he's just lying.
Yep. The New Hampshire Constitution predates the U.S. Constitution.
It does.
If the New Hampshire Constitution authorized the joining up with the United States, it must also therefore be the case that it authorizes leaving.
And he just shrugs off the idea that the U.S. Constitution doesn't have the authority to keep us there. It doesn't. It doesn't have the authority to keep us there. We shouldn't just respect it for no reason. Like,
it's not addressed. It's not brought up, which means by the 10th Amendment, that is left to the states. And that I specifically addressed during my testimony.
Yeah.
He's pretending like that didn't happen.
Quite clearly does. The U.S. Constitution is the utmost legal authority in this country.
The Supreme Court, I want to point out, even the Supreme Court didn't rule what these opposition people are saying. The Supreme Court didn't rule that leaving the United States was illegal or unconstitutional. What they ruled was the process by which states left during the Civil War was not proper. Okay, so just to be clear, they're already manipulating what the actual Supreme Court ruled.
We could get into that if you want. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 because he's going to bring up that court case here in just a moment, actually. More coming up. Free Talk
Live. Sure he is.
Yeah! Free Talk Live. Phones open here if you want to join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Chris.
We're brought to you by Intercoin. And Intercoin is allowing businesses and organizations to launch their own currency. They're helping you out with that. And raising money using their own token. Intercoin has launched its investor token worldwide now. And you can get it over at xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You can use your email address to sign up or any email address so you don't have to go through a know-your-customer process there and keep your privacy intact. deposit dozens of different cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, trade them for Tether, and buy ITR, the Intercoin Investor Token. You can learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org and buy or sell ITR on xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. You might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. As we go back into this audio from today, at the hearing, or rather the executive committee or conference, what do they call it? Executive
council?
Executive session. That's what it is. It's where they execute their decisions about these bills. And so they're looking at CACR 32, which we've talked a lot about in recent weeks, the two-sentence long proposed constitutional amendment here in New Hampshire that would allow the people to vote on whether or not they want to say goodbye peacefully to the United States. And this is a representative named Brody DeShays, who is a liberty-hating Republican who is talking about why people on the committee should vote to kill this bill. He continues.
With that, I would encourage every legislator on this committee to encourage the body, to recommend to the body that we unanimously strike down CACR 32, right? Because we embarked on a constitutional process starting with the introduction of this and the hearing, and this is when we now enter into the constitutional situation of, you know, what happens if legislators support this?
And he's threatening people. I told you, I listened to his speech this morning. I mean, I didn't finish. I'm taking like detailed notes on it. And his whole threat to the people, where it began, is he said, you aren't just voting to allow the people to vote on this. By voting, ought to pass, or voting ITR or whatever it is. Wait, is it ITL? Whatever.
Yeah, that would be voting to kill the bill.
So voting to kill the bill or voting OTP, you are embarking on a constitutional process. And by doing so, if you're committing treason while doing that, then you could be taken out of office or worse and all this stuff.
Yeah, he kind of suggests it, but
he's
doesn't come right out.
It. He is. He's
no, he says it's a gray area, and he acts like we don't know what would happen, but you could be removed from office.
I think the way you phrase that is it's intimidation, but not a threat.
Yeah. Let me go on here. He's got more.
That's just not a question we even have to address at any point and any time going forward.
So he's saying if you vote to kill it unanimously, then we don't have to address taking somebody out of office.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to add, I agree with this here, you know, but the thing is why I'm not supporting it is because there's no plan what happens after.
He came up to me.
He just says that.
This is so ridiculous. There is a plan to the degree that we can plan, right?
Yeah, the way this would work, if it actually happened, when it ended up on the ballot, and if 2/3 of the people in New Hampshire voted for it, it would declare independence from the United States. Then you figure out the plan, okay? Then you figure out the details of, all right, what do we do about borders? And what do we do about trade? And what do we do about, you know, the military? And that's when all that stuff would get figured out. And you've got plenty of time to figure it out. And there's no way we could plan for that in advance because we don't know how the federal government's going to respond to it.
And the crazy thing, too, about it is a lot of the things that they brought up as concerns, like Social Security or citizenship issues, are actually already addressed based on...
People who live internationally, you mean?
Yeah, based on U.S. law. Like citizenship. Citizenship is by birth. So if you're, more or less.
You would have to renounce your citizenship.
Right. So if New Hampshire became independent, you would still be a U.S. citizenship if you were born in the United States at the time that New Hampshire was part of the United States. And you would also be a New Hampshire citizen then as well. Which you actually already are if you live in New Hampshire. So... that doesn't change. You would, if you want to stop paying taxes to the U.S. federal government, you actually would probably have to, I guess, renounce your citizenship and pay them some amount of money. And people already do this so frequently people are born in the United States, but they live in Canada their whole life. But because they were born in the United States, they still have to pay U.S. federal taxes. Ugh. And it's a lot of people renounce their U.S. citizenship.
Right.
Because
Roger
they're
Ver
not
did that from
right,
Bitcoin.com.
Right. Now,
he had to pay six figures.
Now, he didn't live his life outside the United States until recently.
Correct.
But literally, just because you're born in the United States, the U.S. considers you obligated to pay U.S. federal taxes.
But to be fair to the guy, he's right. There isn't a plan except to say goodbye and then figure it out. And central planners hate that. And when he came up to me last night after the hearing... as we were all getting ready to walk out the door, and he told me that he likes the idea but he doesn't like that. The exact thing he said here, that he doesn't like there is no plan. And I looked at him.
He doesn't like the idea. He's all talk. He doesn't want the libertarians to not vote for him because he knows that we have poll now.
In order to have a plan.
Well, he said he's not running again.
Okay. So in order to have a plan, you have to have a, okay, well, what are your concerns? Okay. And we, for the concerns that people have brought up, right, the opposition to this, we've addressed a lot of those concerns already.
Yeah.
So bring up something that you think we do not have, we have not addressed, because we have addressed all the concerns, as far as I can tell, that have been brought up.
I think you're right about that, but still, it's not good enough for a central planner, right? Like, central planner has to have every single thing mapped out.
Well, central planner, please tell me, what have we not addressed?
Yeah.
Because then we can address, we can create a plan for
that. Would have been a good response. I just responded to him by saying, Al, you can't plan freedom.
There's nothing in place here. What happens to our elders? What happens to the working people? What
address
happens
that.
To people who are paid in Social Security?
Also address that.
What happens
right.
to people who work in Massachusetts? What happens to the military on our borders?
I'll
with
also
the
address
air,
that,
the tankers,
and he's assuming things about the future when he says, what happens to people that work in Massachusetts? That, I mean, like, we could assume things as well, but he's just assuming the worst thing. Like, that the borders are going to close and we're not going to be allowed to go into Massachusetts?
Right. I also address that, too, in my response, because basically the economic ties between the United States and New Hampshire are so tight that if, like, the U.S. were to, say, blockade New Hampshire or, you know, do some sort of economic damage toward our cause, it would actually have economic damage to the United States. So it's highly unlikely that the this isn't Afghanistan. New Hampshire's independence is not Afghanistan. Afghanistan, if you invade and you blow it to smithereens, it's not going to hurt the U.S. economy. However, if you destroy New Hampshire's economy, well, think about all of the cross-border, business that's currently being done between New Hampshire and Massachusetts,
sure.
right? Just that alone. Well, if that,
they'd have to destroy
if that
New
trade
Hampshire
doesn't happen,
and Maine.
That also undermines Massachusetts' economy, right?
Yeah, Massachusetts people need their cigarettes.
Right. It's
fireworks.
That's funny, but... Yeah. But no, there is this fear-mongering that's going on.
That's all this is. This whole hearing is fear-mongering.
That has no basis in reality.
And they destroy the New Hampshire advantage.
That's
ridiculous.
I also addressed that.
We'd have 10 times the advantage.
I addressed this. I believe I brought this up in the hearing, was we have already lost our New Hampshire advantage. So what the New Hampshire advantage is it's basically New Hampshire doesn't have a sales tax, so it attracts people to buy stuff from New Hampshire businesses.
Right.
But the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that New Hampshire businesses now have to collect sales tax for destination of the goods. So
yeah, but retailers don't know where the buyer lives, so they're still gonna
if they physically come into New Hampshire. That's true. So we still, I guess, have it
online,
to a little
it
degree.
A problem.
But it is an issue online.
The New Hampshire advantage is all about people crossing the border to come shop here. That's really what it's about. There's more coming up here in moments. You can join the show. Bring up what you want on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Phones open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
Bonnie,
and Chris.
Don't forget, you can join us online. Head on over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features on the site there. We've got a chat server. It's called a Matrix server. You can go to chat.freetalklive.com to get the step-by-step instructions on how to join that server. There are channels there that the show created. There are channels there that you, the listeners, have created. And if there's a channel that you want to make, you can just make your own channel. You can make it public. You can make it private. You can make it encrypted. You can make it unencrypted. It is up to you how to set that up, how to administer it. It's up, or you can just join existing channels and hang out. But head over to chat.freetalklive.com. As we go on here with more from this morning at the Federal Relations Committee in New Hampshire. Normally, committee hearings are pretty dull, but this one is particularly interesting because it's very rare. In fact, this is the first time in probably New Hampshire's history since joining the United States that state representatives had any kind of official discussion about declaring independence from the United States.
And it may be, I think they suggested it may be the only time a constitutional amendment has been proposed in this regard in the United States. Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's interesting. So even the one of these guys who's against it does admit that it is a historic occasion, even as he is doing his best to convince everyone to try to kill this bill. And they ultimately did. They put their mark of death on it, 21-0, but it still does get a full House vote coming up in the next upcoming weeks, so we will keep you in the loop as to how this develops. And how many of the 400 state reps actually vote in favor of this thing in the end, because that's ultimately the question, is how many of them have the courage to go against their parties, because both you want to find out one thing the Republicans and Democrats officially agree on, that is the empire. They agree on empire.
These guys are one in the same.
They're awful.
They have different. They might have different flavors, but they're basically the same.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
They're cowards.
Cowards. Yeah. But parties.
Let's go on there.
Our national support that we have with our military here, on the equipment that was sent to us, paid by the federal government. There's no plan. I mean, yeah, we all believe, many of us believe the federal government is a little out of control.
It would be impossible to, you know, it would just be impossible to negotiate that with them. Like, that's not like the biggest problem in the world. Oh, there's military bases here.
We'll
figure it out.
We already have a major military base in Portsmouth.
That's like, what he's talking about. Yeah.
Right? Like, okay, so we will have some military equipment, but what do you really want it? I mean, this is what I want to know. Like, do they really think that we're going to like go to war with the United States, or is it Canada?
Which country do you think,
and or is it some other country that's going to invade? Because has the United States what?
I'm surprised they didn't bring up a Chinese invasion,
right?
That didn't actually get brought up.
I mean, seriously, like, do they think China's going to invade? I don't even think China has the military capability to invade.
They have a limited amount, I think, of aircraft carriers, like, not even that
very
many.
Limited. Yeah, yeah. And they're all on like the wrong ocean. Right. I mean, like, it would be even the United Kingdom, right? The United Kingdom had trouble with Argentina when Argentina took over. I forget what island it is, but it's basically an island that the United Kingdom controls.
Okay.
And they tried to take it over. And now Argentina wasn't prepared to really defend it, but they took it over. And the UK barely was able to send planes to like bomb because they had to refill, but their planes didn't go far enough, right? Like, they couldn't
out of range.
There's only so far you can go up. I don't know what year it was, but it wasn't.
Is this like hundreds of years ago?
No. This was super recent.
Super
recent. This was, I don't know, probably like in the last 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And the UK had trouble going in and, you know, basically taking back their island against a fairly, you know, weak government. Argentina doesn't have, but what the Argentinas were depending on or counting on is that the UK didn't have the capability of coming over, and they almost didn't.
And this is the problem. People that think that all governments, they must just be basically omnipowerful. Like, I would have honestly never known that it would be even like a possibility that England didn't have the ability to fly planes far enough to bomb a place like in the world. Like, I would honestly assume they'd figure out a way to do it. They're omnipresent, omnipowerful.
And to their credit, they did succeed at taking the island back and getting planes there. But it really stretched their abilities. I think they had to do like multiple refueling flights, like in the air.
Wow.
So they had a ton of support airplanes, and I think they had to modify stuff. And it wasn't something where like they could just go and do it like you would think.
And you know, that's not the place on earth with the highest per capita private ownership of machine guns, so it'd probably
like
be
New
even
Hampshire
harder.
Is
yeah
yeah yeah over. I mean, keep in mind that the island they were taking over basically has no real, you know, economic activity or value. It's just there's a very, very small population of people from the UK on this island, so New Hampshire would be way more worthwhile of trying to take over New Hampshire than this island, right? It was more of a philosophical kind of a thing that was going on there between Argentina, because basically the island is so close to Argentina. Argentina feels like it's theirs and the UK has control over it. And so that's why Argentina kind of invaded, and they didn't think the United Kingdom would be able to, you know, fend off their control over it. But it turned out they were. It was almost such a situation where they weren't able to. And that's a modern military that was, you know, super capable, what we think of as being super capable.
Yeah, one
especially
of the top militaries.
Especially given the history of, you know, the UK and all its territories around the world. Right, and imperialism. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, you know, post 1950, you know, the UK isn't what it was. You know, they don't have the resources and the power, and they certainly do have a modern military, but it's definitely not what it was, you know, back in the heyday.
Gotcha.
Fortunate
No, because New Hampshire is fortunate for many years standing up on their own. We don't have a sales tax. We have a property tax. We kick back. We went against the federal government.
We do have a property tax. I'm not sure if he said we didn't, but we do.
On medical marijuana. We're the only state in the country without a seatbelt law. We want to get, you know, on the federal government beliefs on riding motorcycles with helmets.
That's right.
So we do fight them, you know, the federal government. But there's no plan.
Well,
how do we put
a
this
weak
together?
Fight.
No, nothing.
How little?
Do we throw grandma out of the nursing homes now because we can't afford it?
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Like seriously, this is the most insane argument. Okay, so what would happen? Okay, let's talk about this for a moment. What would actually happen, right?
Because to grandma?
To
in
grandma.
The nursing home?
Let's talk about what would happen to grandma with New Hampshire independence. Because let's be honest, this isn't a libertarian utopia. Grandma's not going to get thrown out if the state decides to be independent, right? What would happen is New Hampshire taxes would go up, and the taxes that get paid to the federal government, the U.S. federal government, that is, would go down as people declared, basically surrendered their U.S. citizenship. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, that everybody would surrender their U.S. citizenship. Some people might be willing to pay, you know, federal income tax in order to keep it. But a lot of people probably would surrender their U.S. citizenship in order to, avoid the federal income tax. And then that tax would end up going to the state government, and the state government would then probably continue the same programs grandma was being funded by the federal government. The state government would end up funding it.
That's probably what would happen, but it would be nice if we could just do it voluntarily and actually have people, you know, fund mutual aid societies.
Maybe
and
down the
charities.
Line we could convince the state government to switch to that.
That would be great, and I think that's a great way to go, except that I don't think that's the approach that realistically, our current New Hampshire government would take.
No, I get what you're saying. But the people of New Hampshire, to their credit, are fairly frugal, and they don't like to see their taxes raised.
This is true.
So they're going to like having the money back from the federal government, and they're not going to want to pay it to the state.
The thing that I think that is also important to bring up here is that, look, government, it doesn't matter what government you have, it's terribly inefficient. But the state government, we have way more control over the state government, and in terms
that's
of efficiencies, the state government is going to be way more efficient with the dollars than the federal government. So we probably would end up paying less in tax
overall
yeah. just because of that.
Even if the government,
right? Even if if grandma gets paid by the state government, the nursing home, it's probably going to be less money. Probably more money going to it, but less. It end up being more efficient where we're paying less taxes.
The number is 603-283-6160. If you want to join us in the remaining moments of the show, which are coming up, 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Phones open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about independence and how the people in the State House, at least the State House Federal Relations Committee, are afraid to vote in favor of just letting people vote. They're not being asked to declare independence. They're being asked to simply put something on the ballot for the people to vote, and they're refusing to do it. 21-0 earlier this morning, we're playing some more of their justifications for their cowardice. Here, it's Ian, Bonnie, and Chris in the studio. Don't forget to check out more of Chris on Freedom Decrypted. That's his show that he does Saturdays. Saturday evenings, 5 o'clock Eastern is the start over at freedomdecrypted.com. It's on video, it's on audio, it's a podcast, it's live. Check him out. If you love tech and liberty, you'll like that. FreedomDecrypted.com. All right, back to the video or the audio from the video of the committee this morning trying to do their best to take a dump all over the idea of independence. Here we go.
You know what I'm saying? Think about what we're doing here. I mean, I honestly, when I'm dreaming at night, I think it's a great idea. But when I wake up and come back to reality, I realize that there's just no damn way.
Oh, he's just more of a realist than us. He's just, you know, smarter and knows more about the world than us youngins.
So here's what you do. You say yes, right? You let the bill be put to the voters, right? And if the voters...
But they're saying no.
Right. I know. But it's like, let the voters make the decision, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens if they... It's not even like... If it can't happen... It won't happen, right?
Right.
Like, if people do vote yes, right, and it can't happen still for whatever reason, because it's, I don't know, unconstitutional or whatever, you know, let the courts, you know, let the system work itself out.
Well, he says later that he's worried about how he'll look to the voters if he puts this in front of them.
But I thought he wasn't running, so it doesn't matter what the voters think.
And he actually says that at one point.
He's not running. Yeah. Didn't he? Yeah. This is the crazy thing about these people. They're like, I don't know if he's, I don't know what he's lying about, but he's obviously lying about one thing or another.
Either that or he's just dumb. Incompetent. Here we go.
Troll over his grave that fought for America, not just for New Hampshire. Okay, and I'll leave it at that. But Representative, you have something.
Yes, if we.
Can you pause it? This is what pissed me off last night, to where I changed my entire speech and went up there and just went after this guy. He keeps bringing up, oh, I was in the military and I fought for America, not just for New Hampshire, and that's why I'm against.
Actually, he didn't say I did.
I know,
but he said
soldiers, but
he said General John Stark and the Founding Fathers.
But... Well. It doesn't matter. He's, you know, using the fact that he was in the military to make that point. There's a part of the U.S. military that's usually, you know, like people who became officers right when they got in, you know, joined as officers, you know, not the average enlisted guy who didn't join because he wants to, he thinks America is a great idea and he wants to protect it and protect his family and his friends and, you know, bought into the silly idea that they sell to people.
The lie.
there are so many people that get in it because they are these people that are obsessed with, you know, being perceived as, you know, honorable when they're really just slimy, horrible people, and also want the ability to get into these other government positions because they're in the military. They want to control people. And he's so clearly one of those people to me. And the average person who joins the military and they do it because they think they're doing a good thing and they believe in the ideals of America, which, I mean, I'm not even saying that I'm one of those people. It's like, it's a lie. It's the American dream and all that. You know, it's a lie. But the average person who's like a good person and joins the military, you know, they don't want to go become a state rep and control the lives of other people. And
yeah, that's true.
It's so ridiculous what he's doing, you know, twisting the Constitution, trying to control the lives of other people and using, oh, I fought in other countries as a Marine. I'm still a Marine and I fought for you guys. Yeah, you're trying to control our lives.
You fought for the government. You fought for the politicians.
Yeah, and murdering people in Iraq and Afghanistan is definitely not defending the United States or fighting for me.
Yeah.
Indeed, even though we still have the state constitution, we're not protected by anything in federal law, the federal constitution. So, you know, there's...
This is the guy that got up last night. He was one of those state reps that spoke with, like, he had the mask on, and the thing was, like, breathing like a lung.
Couldn't hear him.
Didn't know what he was saying, seriously.
Yeah, he was so hard to understand.
Here he is now.
No, like, with grandma in the nursing home, there's no more Medicaid.
There's no more Medicaid or Medicare.
Well, that's probably
true. It was never brought up.
It was brought up, but it really is true that would likely be gone from New Hampshire under a free New Hampshire. And that's what you were saying, Chris. Maybe the state could replace something like that. But
I don't know about Medicare or Medicaid.
Why? People in other countries are getting it.
No, so part, I think part of that is state, and some of that is federal. I think there's a mix on that one, if I'm not mistaken.
But we wouldn't be a state in that case.
Right, we wouldn't be a state. But the point is that the state collects through taxes money to pay for that. Partially, though. And then there's also a federal program to pay for part of it. So I think it's a combination of state and federal, if I'm not mistaken. So,
okay, you might be mistaken on that. Are on these programs, so we don't know. And
so it's only Social Security that people who are citizens and paid into it their whole lives get if they leave the country.
Social Security, they'll definitely get.
Yeah, but only Social Medicaid.
That's my understanding.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you pay into it, I mean, it doesn't matter because these things are going to be bankrupt before I'm old enough to get into them anyway. Like,
well, okay, but we're not talking about you and being retired. We're talking about people basically who are already retired and have already paid in.
I'm just saying it's already broken.
If Medicare and Medicaid are that important to you, then go and move to Massachusetts, number one. But number two, as you pointed out, Chris, maybe there would be some sort of local thing that could replace that. I would like to see it done voluntarily, personally. And then, of course, if we didn't have the federal government around to bring up the healthcare costs, we would likely see healthcare become drastically more affordable in a freer state.
Honestly, I agree with you entirely. I think I don't think it's necessary. I think we can take things one step at a time.
It's
and
stealing
I am perfectly
from young people.
Content. I'm perfectly content simply with dividing the United States or leaving the United States, New Hampshire, that is, and retaining the programs at a state level, because that's still going to be way, way better for the people in New Hampshire and us and freedom folk than not doing it at all.
In theory, if indeed people are still citizens of the U.S. after secession and they're allowed to go back, you know, to travel, they could still probably live in New Hampshire and just go to the Boston hospital or whatever and get their Medicare services there. I don't think you have to be a resident of the state.
Right.
In which,
and you know, even if you're not a U.S. citizen, even if you surrender your citizenship, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't enter the United States.
But I doubt that they would start going to Massachusetts, because imagine how much better our hospitals would be if they didn't have the federal government implements on hospitals if they take money.
I mean, this is like suggesting that people in Canada don't come to the United States for healthcare.
They do all the time.
Right.
Let's go to the phones here. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes. On the previous subject, you were talking about when Argentina took over England's land down there off the coast of Argentina.
Yeah.
The U.S. provided large aircraft carriers to England to assist them.
Oh, I wasn't aware of this.
I remember that really well. I just thought it was just a footnote to what you were talking about.
Yeah,
so they couldn't have done it by themselves.
And this is exactly what I was talking about. A very well-funded military, you know, as significant as the United Kingdom, can't handle it on their own. It needs outside support. I mean, come on. I mean, what are we really worried about, you know, the United Kingdom invading or Russia invading or China invading New Hampshire if we go independent? I'm not.
Well, I'm concerned about China and Russia being military allies. They became allies about 2 years ago. Military allies. That means if one goes to war, the other one's obligated to go to war with it, you see.
Yeah. That I think is more concerning, Russia and China, being on the same page, more so than one or the other countries invading New Hampshire. The United States, even if New Hampshire was independent, there's no way the United States would allow a adversary of that nature to take over New Hampshire.
But what's more ridiculous is why would China and Russia decide we're going to go after specifically only New Hampshire? They would have more beef with the federal government in U.S. So why wouldn't they just go after everywhere except New Hampshire?
The only benefit is that so that they could set up like some sort of base here and take over the United States. But the United States already knows this, and so does New Hampshire. So New Hampshire is going to be like, yes, United States, come and defend our, you know, our border if we didn't have a military, right? Like there are things that are even post independence, there would be things that would be of mutual interest to both the United States and Canada and New Hampshire.
Hmm. Anything else, caller?
Well, thank you. I appreciate your program.
Thanks for the update tonight. I appreciate the extra information. This video, by the way, we're 4 minutes in or 5 minutes almost into this 24-minute long
discussion. That's just how much full of us Bertie DeShays is.
Yeah, really. And every single one. Every single thing that comes out of his mouth, we're going to have something to counter it.
Yeah, but if you're interested in hearing the full thing, it will be up on the Freekeen Odyssey channel. You can go to video.freekeen.com. I have not yet uploaded this video, but it will be up likely tonight. Right now on Freekeen video or the Freekeen Odyssey channel, you can get the full 3 hours of testimony from last night. So if you're interested in hearing Chris, you spoke, Bonnie
Absolutely.
Spoke, I spoke. If you want to check those clips out, you can. A bunch of freedom-loving people were there, and thanks to everyone who came out. This thing is not over. This thing is just getting started. Next step is it goes to the full state house. And there was a statement in this video that we didn't get to, where it sounds like there may be a required Senate hearing as well because it's a constitutional amendment.
Oh, nice.
I'll try to verify that with people who are in the know. We'll see you tomorrow night, freetalklive.com.